Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are going to be talking about current events that you've been seeing in the news. Now, this is happening at the time of this recording, towards the end of March in 2020. So what we're going to talk about is what's happening here. Now, this is major prophetic events that are happening right now as we're recording this. And I've invited Tom Donnan, our good friend, who just has a way of putting things into perspective for us. He's back on the program today. And, you know, I have to warn you, we never know where the conversation is going to end up, all right? We talk about things that indicate we're heading towards the time the Bible says is the end of days, but, you know, today with the coronavirus scare going on and earthquakes in Utah and locusts in Russia and the threat of economic turmoil throughout the world, naturally I wanted to get Tom Donnan's point of view on these things. And we always have a great conversation, but we never really know how the Holy Spirit is going to guide the conversation. I mean, we have an outline. And we intend to follow it, but it rarely goes as planned.
Yeah.
Help me welcome back to the program, Tom Donnan. Tom, thanks for coming back on the show today.
Pastor, thank you very much. We always have a good time. And yeah. So we like to see where the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, and that is part of the fun.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Now, Tom, I want everyone to know that, you know, we do not do these interviews to instill a sense of fear into people. We're not of fear, but of sound minds, and we have our faith in Jesus, and we don't bow to the spirit of fear, but of faith. But at the same time, we need to discuss things that are happening in the natural order in order to hopefully capture the attention of those who are not born again and show them, you know, these are the things the Bible says will happen as we approach the day of the return of Jesus. Correct? Am I right in that?
Oh, yes. You know, the thing is that when we're living life, we tend to see what's right in front of us, or we make plans, you know, and so you can have an introspective picture of what's going on. And sometimes people will try to say, hey, you need to get the big picture. But what we're doing here is we're trying to help people see the spiritual big picture, mm-hmm. because it's not easily seen sometimes because we're in life. You know, and so, but now it's getting a lot easier to see the spiritual picture because of the escalation of world events.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, I want to emphasize that our point in all this is to bring people into a relationship with the Father and Jesus and not scare them to death, quote unquote, right? But their need for salvation, and that these signposts, the end days, they're really happening all around us right now. And you can't ignore them if you're a believer. You know, it's time not to procrastinate, but a time to come to God if you don't know him as your Father right now. You know, what do you say about that?
Well, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it talks about that we need to have the veil removed from our minds and the scale off of our eyes and the wax out of our ear. And what that means is that when those things are removed, then we perceive the spiritual realm. And it's like, I can't believe this has been here the whole time, and now I'm getting a grasp at it or a look at it. And that's when the lights are turned on. And, oh, I love living for those moments when people are awakened to the spiritual realm. And so this is the thing, is that I've been having conversations lately with people who, you know, they are in, let's say, religion. And what I mean by religion is that they know of Jesus, but nobody takes the time, or I don't know why, to lead them into a relationship. So I often tell people is that when my sister had challenged me to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, I was a practicing Catholic at the time. And so I'm thinking to myself, what is this all about? But the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I was like a tug of war, right? You know, I can't even sleep. I got this tug of war going on. And so finally I decided that I was going to do this. But how do you invite Jesus to come into your heart and life, right? I'm a mechanical type of guy. So what's the mechanics? I don't know. So I decided that, okay, I don't know how to do this, Jesus. I don't know how this works. I don't know how to do this, but please come into my heart and life, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins, right? And I tell people, it was like I was living in a cave in the dark all my life, and then Jesus walked in with a light, and for the first time I could see. It was absolutely radical transformation for me. And I love it when I can connect with somebody else and they start to see like that. Oh, it is fun stuff. Oh,
amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, and you know, Jesus talked about, you know, your faith and all that. He related it to something that, you know, people could understand. That was building your house on the solid rock or on the sand, you know. And he did not say, you know, if perhaps at some point in time a flood comes. No, he said, when the floods come. You know, if you've built your house on sand, everything's going to collapse all around you. But if you build it on the rock, you're going to withstand the flood. Not if it comes, but when it comes. And I think we can honestly say that we're in a flood right now. I'm not talking about water, even though there's places that's happening too. But we're talking about spiritually right now. Everything is coming against people all at one time. You know, you got the virus, you got the economic collapse, you got natural disasters happening. All these things, as we talked before we started, I call a convergence of all these things. And what happens when something converges? Everything is coming from different directions, and they're coming to one point. And that point is the return of Jesus that we're talking about. Amen?
Amen. You see, in the last year, as we've gotten together for different broadcasts, we've tried to take the events that are going on that are signposts that we are moving in this direction. Mm-hmm. And now it is just absolutely accelerated.
Yeah,
because we are being shaken in so many different points and aspects. The thing was is that in this last year, we have tried to get people to be able to see this so that they could start to begin the foundation and build the foundation.
Amen.
So that during this time that we are now coming into, that they would have that strength in their relationship with the Lord. But he is faithful to be able to take a person whose house is being washed away, you know, spiritually, figuratively, kind of like, mm-hmm. And he can do turn it all around. That is the awesomeness of God. You know, I hang on to Romans 8:28. All right, I'm not necessarily pleased about that scripture because it says I have to paraphrase. It means that no matter whatever comes your way, God is going to turn it around for good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have seen some stuff in my life where I thought, okay, how are you going to turn this around for good? You know, like I'm challenging them because I can't see a way. But that's where Isaiah 43:19 comes in, is that he makes ways.
Makes a way.
It makes a way. That's right. So I've seen him turn it around. Now, I had recently, last year at this time, I bought a new car, and I got a new license plate, right? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's a prophetic license plate. All right, so for the people who will give me a little attitude here, the license plate has 828 and 48 on it, and I knew it right away. Okay, if I'm having a bad day, it's for a new beginning. Because once you get into the trouble, you know, you allow him to turn it around for good, and then something new starts. So every time I look at that plate, I'm thinking, oh, of all the choices in the world, you know? Yeah. So, he can turn this around. This is why I want people to come into that relationship, because he can do anything.
Amen. Amen. That's true. And since we talked 6 weeks ago, I mean, some of the things we discussed back then, predicting that it would get worse, have gotten worse. And the first one, other than the virus, which we'll get into, but let's talk about the locust plague that we talked about last time. Have you seen how bad that's gotten?
You know, okay, so when I go on YouTube, you know, the domination part is a dominating subject is, the virus, all right? But then as I'm looking through it, I was like really shocked. Okay, so it started in Africa, and about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw that it had gotten into crossover into China, and I thought, wow, what's going on here? And then yesterday, I saw where it's terrible in Russia. In Russia, there are so many that it's like if you're in a blizzard, they're in a locust blizzard.
Wow, and that's got to eat up all the crops and everything.
That's the scary part.
That's what they do.
Yeah. That's just another force by which the human beings can have comfort. You know, it's what was that scripture where the guy builds new storehouses because mm-hmm. his crops have been so good, you know? Yeah. And so the thing here is that this is one of those things where people's lives are shaken because there's not enough food to eat, or where is the next meal coming from?
Yeah. That's right. And we see that in the stores today. I mean, you know, when I go in the stores, I went in to buy something several days ago, and you know, I just need to pick up like two or three things. But I walk down the aisle. I said, well, maybe I'll grab a couple cans of soup. I mean, there's none. The shelves were bare. Soup,
really?
Vegetables, any canned goods at all were stripped down. I mean, it was.
Whoa.
Like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's, you know that I like to get the prophecy. I can remember the place where I had knelt down and I had prayed that God would bless me with that gift. And then it started to develop. And it has been very helpful in my life, to the extent that about a month ago I had what really was a nightmare, but the nightmare conveyed a message, and the message is that if I got within 3 feet of an infected person, I was now going to be sick, all right? Uh-huh. And so and that's turned out to be true. And so a month ago, I started becoming very concerned, and I began somewhat self-isolation. And so, seeing that this was going to go down that road, eventually God showed me, he says, Tom, stop going out, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I had to be prepared by then. So I've been prepared for this event 2 weeks before it started happening. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that God does for us in his relationship.
Exactly.
Yep. He gets us, he shows us stuff.
Yep. Yeah, we did the same thing at the beginning of March, maybe the last week of February. And we went to Costco, right, which is, for those listening outside the United States, it's like a big warehouse of food and other stuff. But I told my wife, you know, while we're here, why don't we go ahead and just grab a case of, you know, soup and stuff just to, you know, just to put it up in the cabinet just in case we need it. You know, it's... You know, not planning on needing it, but I'm, you know, when I was in the military, I was able to, you know, when I'd come home from a deployment or stuff, I might have 3 or 4 MREs in my pack still that I didn't eat. So we just put them up in the cupboard, and, you know, we had a hurricane come in, we had, you know, like food for a week for the whole family type thing.
Well, yeah.
It's, you know, I've always done that for 30 years now. And I was the same way, you know, back about 5 weeks ago or so. It was like, I wasn't planning on getting it when I was there. Just the thought came to me while I was there. Okay, grab it. Boom. So we have, you know, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks worth of canned goods in store, you know, in our cabinet before the rush was even put on all these food sources.
Yeah, see?
And
yeah.
We had also bought a huge thing of toilet paper, too.
For the long haul, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's move to the major elephant in the room, and that is the coronavirus. I want to let everyone know this is not the plague that will kill one-third of humanity. All right?
Okay.
Although, as a sign of what to come, I want to point out that right now, as we're doing this recording— one-third of humanity is currently in lockdown. Think about that. Is that a coincidence? I don't believe so. I don't believe in coincidence, but I do believe this is a type and shadow of things to come. But between China and then India and Europe right now, and now in several major metropolitan areas here in the United States at the time of this recording, there is, I think it was 2.2 billion people told don't go outside.
That's amazing.
I mean, imagine that. Who'd have thought that was even possible 6 months ago?
Exactly. This is the thing that becomes life-shaking, life-shattering about how quickly these things happen. Yeah. And so that leads into another good segment for a dream that the Lord had given me about 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that was it was in a location of here in Chicago near the lake. Lake Michigan is there's a museum. It's called the Museum of Science and Industry, which is in a community called Hyde Park. That's where the University of Chicago is, where people come from around the world to go to the school there. And, of course, they have breaking medicine research and stuff like that. But it also is the place of two world's fairs, mm-hmm. okay? So when I was there, I was in a building about a north in the stream as it went. I was in a building about a factory about the fifth floor, and I'm looking down in the parking lot. And I see a wave come in from the lake, and it's about 3-4 feet deep, and it's a tsunami, and it's pushing the cars around like toys, right? And so I'm like absolutely shocked. And then the next event that took place, I'm on the other side of the building. And as I'm looking out away from where I just was, a wave hit this building like a bass drum. Mm. Okay. And I saw the spray come over the top of the building. And this is a 10-story building that I'm in. Right. So the second wave was absolutely phenomenal. And then I moved to a third location that is closer to the lake so that I'm in a glass building, which means that, it's more vulnerable, but I don't have to worry because now I'm out there and I'm looking at the lake, and the water starts to recede. So what does that tell you? Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, no. All right. So as it comes in, it's only a foot. It's only a foot high. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I see myself get in the car and go back to my regular life. So what does this say? It says that the first wave of the tsunami is catches everybody by surprise and it's bad. But the second wave is terrible.
Yeah.
And after the second wave, then it really, really reduces. Now, they're talking about this herd immunity. Have you heard that term?
No.
It's where enough people that have the virus and they recover from it, and now they have immunization from it, so to speak, okay. Internal immunization. Okay. And if you get enough of those people, then what happens is that the virus can't survive because they've right. all been through it. Yeah. And so that second wave, it just gets a lot of people by surprise, you know. And so after that, it seems as though it really, really declines quite quickly.
Amen. And I think we're not there yet with this virus, but, you know, I've said that all along. Well, if it takes 2 weeks to develop, and like right here in the United States, we're now coming up on the end of the second week where we've had this social distancing, shut down churches and businesses and all that stuff, which means before this was put in place, those are the people who are getting sick right now. So that's why they see this huge spike. But if they extend this out another week or so, everything should level off because not as many people are being contaminated with it. And after that, you start that gradual decline, which is, you know, the what you dreamed, you know, life is starting to go on again type thing, you know. But, you know, along with all the sickness that's happening right now, we also see the economic collapse is happening worldwide. It's, you know, it's Whoa. One thing for China to have economic problems last year, or the United States a couple of years before that or whatever. But this is worldwide economic problems, you know, and to exasperate the situation, back several months ago, Saudi Arabia decided to get into an oil war with Russia, lowering the cost of oil. So all these oil production companies, you know, had already lost a lot of their profits that they were used to. And the United States isn't really affected as much because we're now processing, according to the research I've seen, actually more oil than Saudi Arabia because of our ability to use fracking. But this has affected, you know, majorly impacted like Iran and Russia and all the Gulf-producing oil states and all that. So we see the oil market and oil producers, you know, they're taking a really big hit right now.
That is it's very disturbing, you know, because that's just another spoke in this wheel that contributes to the shaking that we're seeing happening, you know, because we rely so much on this. And one of the things that I think is a scary situation is how the United States enjoys right now the world currency because of the petrodollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and if the petrodollar should go by the wayside, that it's going to be another thing that's going to really shake us as a nation.
That's right. That's right. And we talked about this sometime last year, I think, where Russia and China already made that agreement that they wouldn't use the U.S. dollar to trade back and forth with. So, I mean, it's that decline for the demand of the U.S. dollar is already starting to happen.
Well, okay, so now you're getting into it. You know, that's the thing about the commerce around the world uses a system that's called SWIFT, which is the United States has the privilege of being overseeing of. Okay, so what China and Russia have been doing is been devising a way by which they will use gold for purchasing oil going around a SWIFT system. And so that in itself is going to be threatening for our way of life here in the United States. And so you can't, you know, and that's already up and running. It's just at a lower level. And there is other ways that they are. Oh, did you see now where they're talking about going into cryptocurrency? You know, a national cryptocurrency is what they're talking about
really?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
That's breaking news. And so that is a scary thing, you know, because that's another way of getting around this SWIFT thing. And there are other small businesses that are trying to develop that as well. And so for a person that doesn't understand this, is that it's got to be a very safe way of transferring money around the world. And so by using the SWIFT, you know, the fastest way is that you got the money in your pocket. You go to wherever you want to bring it and then you take it out and, you know, you get it there. But it has to go through a series of checks to make sure that it's solid, the transition is solid, and it can take 3 or 4 days or maybe even longer. And so this is what's happening is that they are changing the way that this is done, which has given us a privilege that we have enjoyed for many years.
Mm. You know, I could see some countries using, if they went to cryptocurrency, you know, well, like, we'll take, for example, this huge stimulus package that's about to be passed by Congress to help out in the United States, which we'll talk about in a second. But they're like, okay, just go ahead and put a couple of zeros on the end of how much cryptocurrency we've got available.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just opens up a whole – and think about what the Bible says, the mark of the beast. You know, you cannot buy or sell unless you're dealing with them.
Yeah.
There you go again, you know.
Yeah.
All these things come to pass. You know, let's talk about the businesses that are being impacted right now, at least here in the United States. I'm sure they are in other parts of the world as well, because, you know, the economic collapse of the nations is happening at the same time they're telling businesses stop doing business, right?
Yeah.
Some predict we may be seeing the next Great Depression unless governments act quickly to provide these economic stimulus packages for their nations. You know, at the time of this recording, it appears that the United States is about to sign a stimulus package into law, but it hasn't been formally approved by both houses yet or by signed into law by the president. It appears like it's going to happen. But without that stimulus, businesses all over the country are closing. You know, and the major problem is going to be those businesses that were struggling to stay open when times were good. I mean, many of them have already closed up shop. Have you seen that?
Yes. Okay, so I like to be a person that used to listen when my parents and grandparents talked. I like to listen to what they were saying about the things that they have gone through and what they had learned along the way, you know. And so when you get down to this, who could have seen this coming?
Right.
You know? Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, let's say with the Spanish flu in 1918, 1919, mm-hmm. you know, as it was going around, they didn't have the ability to be able to foresee and then take the steps to slow it down, as they got the phrase now, flatten the curve, mm-hmm. you know, by having people self-quarantine so that the level of sickness is lowered. Okay, so but in that time they didn't have that ability to be able to do that. So now we're seeing when you get to the businesses, right? Okay, so like in Seattle, the thing is that who could have seen this coming? There are businesses that have been established for 40 years. I'm thinking about one video that I watched, and within 2 weeks they had to close the doors because there's nobody to go because everybody's self-quarantined because they realize how terrible this is. Now people. You know, they say 80% are going to get the virus and they're going to be okay. And then I'm watching YouTubes where some of those people that are in the 80% are saying, this is worse than the worst flu I've ever had, you know, and they didn't need hospitalization, but yet they were suffering. And so this is something that is very serious. It's so the people are now taking it to the point where, okay, yeah, I'll do the self-quarantine. But then now look in the reflection of there's something that's called the M2 money supply, and it talks about the velocity of money. And the velocity of money is that, like, you got, let's say, $5, and you take that $5 and you take a taxi ride, you know. Of course, that's a very short ride. All right,
like getting in one side of the car and getting out the other side.
You know? Yeah, and you haven't even gone anywhere. All right, so then that taxi driver takes that and he buys fuel and he brings the money home and he, you know, pays the taxes and he, you know, buys food and all that stuff. As it goes through society, That's called the velocity of money. Well, for up until this time, the velocity of money has been like in a 1960s level because people are concerned of spending money because they don't know the outcome. And then the virus hits, right? Mm-hmm. And now there's no spending of money because there's nobody in the restaurants. There's nobody, you know, spending money because they're staying at home, except for online stuff. No. And so it has contributed to mass business failures everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. I mean, the stores are, the video I've seen was up in Seattle, and the news reports is that, you know, like downtown Seattle is just closed with not just, you know, we'll reopen after this is over, but sorry, folks, we're done. We can't survive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tragic. You know, some people, that's their life savings or their life dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're say, you know, we're done. It's, you know, we struggle making these, you know, month-to-month payments, let alone have to go a couple months with no payment, you know, no income at all. I mean, they're closing the doors forever. They're going to declare bankruptcy and all that other stuff.
I had a small business for a while. This was probably about 25 years ago, where my wife and I had were overseeing the franchise of Three Winchell's Donuts in somewhere in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, I think. All right. So we were doing pretty good. There was a narrow profit margin, all right, of maybe 7 or 8%, you know, each week. All right. And then I think it was Boeing had a strike, you know, where the mechanics were on strike. Yeah. Within 3 weeks, we were out of business.
Yeah.
And we had to revert, give them back to the corporation, and then it took me 2 years to dig out of the debt that I was in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, just one company that went on strike.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, imagine what it's like, you know, with some of these stores right now that, you know, I mean, if, okay, let's say they shut down the airlines, we'll just use that as an example. Right, no flying because everybody's cooped up in the little airplane, you know, and that's we don't want that. Okay, so the airline is not receiving any money, which means their employees are not receiving any money, which means they're not able to buy groceries and things like that, which means the grocery stores aren't making money, which means their employees aren't going to get paid, which means, you know, they can't pay the utility bills and, you know, they can't pay for the car payments and all that. So now the banks are, you know, I mean, it just snowballs so quickly.
Yeah.
That, you know?
Yeah.
Then they have trouble making their house payments or their rent payments.
I mean, yeah.
Some, you know, they're saying, well, we'll just let them miss a payment or two until things change. But, you know, that really creates more problems. I mean, now they're going to be two or three payments behind. So when things get normalized in 6 weeks or whatever, they're going to be expected to make those payments up. But when they go back to work, they're not going to get, you know, 3 or 4 months' pay. To catch everything up, they still are required to make those three house payments, but you know, they're also going to be you know, living on a limited budget.
It becomes a nightmare.
It does.
Absolute nightmare.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our good friend Tom Don. And I'm telling you what, every time Tom comes on, we never know where the Holy Spirit is going to lead these conversations. But with the pandemic going on, this coronavirus thing going on, and we are talking about the effects it is having on society right now. Now, this is just part one of part two of this interview. Then we got another one coming up right after that for another two parts. But folks, I am telling you, you need to go down below, get in touch with Tom Donnan, look at his website, get his books. This guy, he knows what the Holy Spirit is talking about. Amen. Now be sure to come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob telling you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.